This is your Week in Gaming, episode 34, recorded for the 8th of March, 2024, to bring you all the latest news from the world of gaming. On today's episode of the podcast, we talk White Games Project Dell, Sons of the Forest 1.0, F1 24, and a lawnmower running Doom. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of your Week in Gaming. It is the first episode, at least, for the month of March. It's already the third month of the year. It's running away from us, Sam.
Honestly, this is like the best week that I've had all year in terms of work and stuff. So, yeah, bring on more weeks. I'm loving this.
For some reason, January lasted 6 to 7 months, right?
It always does.
And then February, like, blinked past. We're now in March. I mean, there's a lot of things.
February only had 29 days. So, you know.
I mean, 29, 30, it's, I mean, same, but different, right? It's just everything just blitz through and we're already in March. It's crazy to think about how the year's just running by and so much news that's happening.
It is unreal how much gaming news there is. I still think back to how we like memed on Game Rant at the end of December for having like such a drought and really scraping the bottom of the barrel for news. But now the news is coming in thick and fast. And honestly, I'm struggling to keep up. Like, this episode is so chunky.
Yeah, we've got so much. So, you know what? Instead of us baffling along and just talking about stuff, let's just get straight into it. With gaming news now, and our favorite publisher in the world, EA, has released a release trailer for F1 24. With the start of the real-life Formula One season, which took place last week, this is great timing for those who enjoy racing and those that enjoy the more competitive side of gaming with like F1 esports and stuff. Now, the game, very well known for the My Team Career mode, where you actually create your own team and take them through like the F1 championship and you drive for them, which many content creators release regularly. It's a big thing for them. There's a lot of people that have already seen some sneak peeks to the game. So it's really exciting to see something like this is coming out. Now, it is rumored to be released for the end of May 2024, with a full trailer of what's to be expected to be released during April of this year. Keep an eye out and an ear out for more details. But me as an F1 fan, I'm always excited for another F1 game, whether it be F1 Manager or the F1 racing games. I enjoy all of them.
Okay, the F1 Manager is a bit of a weird one for me, but the actual racing games I can get behind. Do you have a steering wheel and like all of that good stuff?
I used to, and I actually used to do some like competitive like sim racing and stuff. With the move and everything, it just didn't quite seem to make sense to actually have it, so I actually did sell it. But racing on controller, whilst it is a slightly easier, I'd guess, and some things a little bit more tricky, it's still quite fun to race around. I mean, I think the biggest attraction to like the F1 games, besides the esports side of it, is definitely the my team career mode that they have, where you know you create a team. You start like bottom of the barrel and you got to like do the research on the cars, develop and everything to get you to be in a position to challenge people or like title contenders and stuff like that. So it's a really good game. I think that's probably the biggest selling point to F1 actually.
Now, me personally, you know, over the weekend, I was like watching the F1. My family had it on screen and I'm like sitting on the couch there falling asleep. It's not for me. It's not for me. But I will say, I was listening to the commentators, and a lot of people say that one of the big things about F1 comes down to like understanding the game and the way they talk about the cars and the ways that they're built and the engines and everything. It's actually so in depth. Like it's interesting, not interesting enough to keep me occupied, unfortunately. So, you know, kudos for the F1 fans out there. It's another big one that you guys can enjoy. And no Max Verstappen to make it impossible for you to win. So at least you got that going for you. But for me personally, I will not be playing this one. But I love this for you, Andrew.
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited. And for those F1 fans that do listen, don't forget this week's race is on Saturday, not on Sunday.
Riot Games' long-anticipated fighting game, Project L, has finally been given a name. And it's certainly a name. Gamers who fall in the interesting Venn diagram of fighting games fans and Riot Games fans, they can expect to get their hands on 2XKO, in 2025, with playtesting starting as early as this year. We spoke briefly about this some time ago, and it looks really sick with some great innovation in the tag team mechanic. A quick reminder for those who have forgotten or who are unaware, 2XKO is a League of Legends fighting game featuring some of your favorite LoL champs like Yasuo, Darius, Ahri. Some of the big names are in there. You play as these champs with their signature abilities in a 2v2 battle mode with the tag team mechanic, which is really cool. The playtests have looked good, if a little cartoony, but that is to be expected. It is, you know, Riot Games. They're not known for their hyper-realism. So if you weren't expecting something a little bit more cartoony, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But if you're interested in being involved in the playtest, you can sign up now on the official website.
It looks pretty cool. I've played some fighting games that are slightly more cartoony. I mean, if you go first back to things like the Dragon Ball GT like fighter games. That were around, like that's fairly cartoony. There's some other ones like BlazBlue, which is it's a very niche kind of fighting game. Like I've problem, and the fact that, you know, people that enjoy League of Legends, I mean the lore around the characters and stuff is so in depth. So to play as like Yasuo or Darius or Ahri or any of the other like 230 champs or something that they have at the moment, it's crazy. Very much so, unless you've got Xbox Game Pass, because then you just get them all. But it's nice to see that a game like this coming out. Fighting games, especially the fighting game community we've spoken about, they get super hyped, and if you catch them on a game, they're going to be loyal to you for a long time. The name, though, it seems a little bit too close to the publisher 2K, which is what I was like, 2XKO, it's a little weird, but you know what, there's probably a reason.
It's very on the nose, right? Like 2X, because it's two people, KO, knockout. So like two people, it's really on the nose. And for Riot, I feel like you really could have been a little bit more imaginative on that one, guys.
It's all right. The game looks pretty cool. I'll be signing up for the playtest, because I do enjoy the odd fighting game. I've been told I can button bash fairly well from my old Tekken days. So who knows? I might just give it a shot. And who knows? Being Riot, it'll probably be pretty addictive.
And if there's a story mode, even better.
Exactly. Learn more about the lore about these amazing, really well-written characters. Sons of the Forest has dropped their big 1.0 patch. Oh my god, a game that has left early access and has actually dropped a 1.0 patch. And it is absolutely loaded with content, right? This game is considered by many to be one of the best horror games of 2023, and now leaving early access has given players so much more to do in-game. With the added content, the developer End Night Games has recommended that players actually start a new save to potentially not miss out on any of the new content whatsoever. There are new cutscenes, new alternative endings to the story. Yes, the forest actually has a story. There's new mutants, new caves. There's a sickness system that they've added in. There's new items, achievements, as well as like a lot of optimization changes to the game, which is really, really cool. This is huge, not only for the new added content, for one, but this is like one of the best survival games around. But the other reason that it's like so good is that it has finally left early access. It is a fully released and published game, which is crazy. And I don't know which one is the bigger achievement, to be honest.
We've just found Andrew's trigger button. Like, if you just want to send him over a cliff, tell him this game is in early access.
Oh, so many are in early access. But if you enjoy survival games and you also enjoy a little bit of horror, The Forest is a game that'll be right up your alley. Sons of the Forest is basically just a better version of The Forest, and The Forest was really, really good. I haven't played Sons of the Forest. I have watched people play it, though, and my friends that do play it have got nothing but positive feedback about it.
I haven't played it personally. It's very seldom that a survival game will catch my interest. Pal World, very, like, special case. It's like me and sci-fi. Like, sci-fi doesn't catch me, but Doctor Who... You had me there, right? So it's one of those things that I really struggle with. And horror games? No, I don't do horror. I am a little bitch. so I don't play horror. But I love watching these games. Same with things like Elden Ring and all of these other games. I love watching. I love seeing other people absolutely like have a heart attack and jump out of their skin. And I love seeing, because there is a lot of skill involved. There is a lot of like creativity involved. So I love watching these games. But me, myself, I'm not going to play this one.
It does have a lot of spooky elements, especially when you're going to caves and you don't have a torch. You've only got your lighter, or you have to make like an old-fashioned stick torch with cloth and everything and set that alight, and it only burns for so long. And the caves can get really, really spooky. But Sons of the Forest, it's patch 1.0. If you haven't picked it up yet, definitely pick it up. It is a great survival game. It's great to play with friends. It's really, really good to play with friends, actually. You can do some crazy stuff in the game. So definitely go check it out, as it is also a game that has left early access.
The sheer amount of Elden Ring news is overwhelming. So strap in, folks. This is going to be a long one. Shadow of the Erdtree has been announced. Everyone should know this by now. And the buzz around it has been huge. And the player numbers have absolutely spiked in anticipation. The trailer dropped a couple of weeks ago, so do yourself a favor. Go check it out. In the meantime, here is some of what we know. The DLC will be launching on the 21st of June. So plenty of time to squirrel away the cash to grab it on day one, because as is the trend, DLCs, they cost about as much as a game, so you want to make sure that you're squirreling that cash away. The game will feature a slew of new enemies, most notable Mesmer, who has been on everyone's lips over the last few weeks, looks so sick, I can't wait to watch this. A variety of stunning new locations taking place in the Land of Shadows, a place obscured by the Erdtree and set ablaze by Mesmer's flame. The Land of Shadows map is reportedly comparable in size, if not bigger, to the base game's Limgrave, which is the starting area of the game. Don't be fooled by the term starting area. It's a pretty hefty chunk of real estate. So you're getting a good bit of value for cash here in this DLC. There's been speculation that you may even get to fight Mikaela, if I'm saying that correctly, the entity in the egg from the Mogwin Palace. But that's unconfirmed, so you'll need to find out for yourself. Along with new enemies, Elden Ring's arsenal of weapons will also be bulking up in the new DLC, bringing with new attacks, armor, and more at your disposal. Finally, like all good AAA titles, this DLC will also have pre-order bonuses and a collector's edition. You know what the great thing about the collector's edition is, though? It actually includes the game, Blizzard. The various pre-order Blizzard options.
Listen to that.
Honestly. The various pre-order options will range in price anywhere from $40 to $250 or $750 to 4,800 Rand. For those collector junkies, the collector's edition comes with a 46 centimeter tall statue of Mesmer, a hardcover art book, the digital soundtrack, as well as a Ring of Mikaela bonus gesture. Additionally, if you still don't own the base game, there are options for you too. For $80 or $1,500, you can get both the base game and the DLC, as well as the bonus gesture, which is not a bad price. For an additional $20 or $380 on top of that, you can also add the digital art books and soundtracks from both the base game and the DLC. Chunk of news thrown at you there, but Elden Rings fans, I think that all of you are going to be absolutely jumping out of your skin for this one. I can't wait for the streams to start.
Elden Ring is such a good game for people that enjoy Souls games.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there are people that don't enjoy Souls games, but they really enjoyed Elden Ring. It was one of those games that like really captured people, you know, for being a very complete game. Mm-hmm. When it came out, it was, there's your game, go and enjoy it, right? It's a very niche thing in the industry that we have, right? And like this DLC, from everything I've read, from everybody that I've watched talk about it, and the streamers, like the Souls-like streamers that talk about it, it appears to be absolutely loaded with content. And you know what? A collector's edition for DLC, and you're getting like actual statues and things like that. I like that a lot. I mean, I personally enjoy like the World of Warcraft collector's editions, where you get like the art cover book and like the DVD of like this is how we made the game behind the scenes, and all of those nice little nifty things and the soundtracks. I really like that, but you don't see it as often anymore. There's very few games that actually do it. So you know what? Good on you guys at Elden Ring for actually doing this. And I mean, for ultimately like $100 now to pick up the game, as well as the DLCs and everything like that, as like collector's edition. If you haven't played Elden Ring, $100 is pretty much the price of like collector's edition of like AAA games. If you have to purchase them, like, you know, the premium, like the premium super deluxe editions and everything. So you know what? It's actually a real, you know, bang for buck. It's they deem that the DLC is going to have like 30, 40 hours of content to it, along with the game, which is probably close to that plus, say, maybe another 20 or whatever. So if you're getting a game for $100 and you're getting like 80 hours out of it, it's super, super worth. Unless you're bad at the game, because then you're going to be getting even more hours.
Worth, or you just stop playing entirely. Like, yeah, it's one or the other.
Well, it's one or the other, but you're never going to get rid of it out of your Steam library, and you'll always go back to it. It's a very beautiful game. It's a lot of fun, and very challenging and rewarding for when you finally get the kill on the boss that has been driving you mad for a couple of hours.
All right, we're going to kick off with Sam's soon-to-be successes, and honestly, I don't know how this game just did not show up on my radar at all. I think it's because... No, actually, I just don't know. I don't know, because we've spoken about The Sims 5. We've spoken about Life by You, which is meant to be the big competitor. How this game slipped through the cracks, I don't know. I also don't know how to pronounce the game's name, so I'm going to do my best. But it looks like it's called Inzoi? I'm not sure. But the developer behind PUBG is bringing out a Sims competitor built in Unreal Engine 5, which we know that The Sims 5 is also going to be built on, but here you go. It's another competitor coming through here. They showed it off during G-Star 2023. It was first announced back in 2019, and it is so cool. The video, you can actually go and check out the video. It is on IGN. It'll be on YouTube. It's all over the place. It's hyper-realistic. And the like, the graphics and the amount of stuff that you can control. Like in the video, you can see people packing shelves at work, right? You can see them in an office building working on PCs and stuff. Like there's some chick taking her lunch break and playing games on a phone, like sitting at a cafe table. It is ridiculous just how much has been packed into this game already. So it shows character creation, relationships, build mode. There's a director's mode where you can change character schedules, the weather, the city. You can apply filters to the in-game picture as well. There's so much that you can do. And the really cool thing is that, like, seasons, not an X-Pack. Like, it's included in the base game. There are a bunch of things that are part of this game that are just included that are not expansions, which makes you wonder, what are the expansions going to look like? Like, what are they going to still add to this game in the future? It looks so good, and I'm so excited to play it out.
Yeah, it's very difficult to convey like how good this game is unless you've actually watched the video.
Yeah.
There were a couple of things that like caught my eye, is that there were times where the frame rate went a little bit derpy during it. Now, that could be either was my recording, all right, which is, you know, I was watching it, you know, like not on the greatest internet connection. So it could have been my connection. However, it did look like other people were experiencing the same things, which does bring into like, did you really want to show that in the other game? But nevertheless, like the building and the construction of, you know, like Sims is very well known for like, you know, how you go about building and your furniture placements and how you can rotate. This takes it like to the next level in terms of all of that. It does raise a one little concern, because there's so much that's included in this and you're talking about expansions. My only concern is that it becomes as predatory as Sims expansions have been. Because if we can be honest to ourselves, like Sims expansions are horrendously expensive. They're like the same price that you paid for the base game. And ultimately, what do they add? It doesn't feel like they add, like they do add stuff, but it doesn't feel like it is a new game when you consider how much you paid for the base game. So that's my only concern with regards to it. However, looking at it, you know, the whole, like, you know, third person running through the city, and you can like mod the city to like how you want it as well. As you said, like actually going to the office and sitting down and doing work and the lunch break thing, that is really, really, it just adds another element to the whole life sim, at least. It does look very, very pretty, though. If you haven't checked it out, as Sam said, IGN have got a very nice article about it. There's about a 7-minute video of like what you can see inside the game, and it's crazy.
Yeah, I was really, really, really impressed with it. But like, so it's scheduled for a release sometime late 2024. We've also got Life by You coming out soon, which also looks really good. You guys can go check out those videos as well. The Sims 5 also, like, we don't know too much just yet, but knowing that it's coming out on Unreal 5, the life sim genre is booming right now. And I love that there's competition for The Sims. So I'm looking forward to seeing how all of these games are going to play.
Yeah, it's about time that Sims actually had a challenger to the market. And what a time, considering how much of a blowout like 4 was, right? Like, it really didn't do as well as people expected to do. So if anything, the time is now to show that there are games that can be better than The Sims, or that there are at least alternatives to The Sims. All right. As always, there's a whole bunch of news that we haven't really been able to like go through in depth. So we've got them in our little short little special mention section. Starting with the first one, the next entry into the Sim series, codenamed Project Reen, has been leaked online. The pre-release version of The Sims 5 includes PC and Android boards with a de novo DRM and a switch to Unreal Engine from Frostbite.
WoW Classic has added alt-friendly items to the waylaid supply factions at honored and revered ranks, making reputation grinding worthwhile. Undocumented update offers account-bound rings and necklaces with no level requirement, benefiting alt characters in Season of Discovery. Increase in gold rewards for high-level waylaid supplies and higher XP gain in Phase 2 provide more incentive for WoW Classic players.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Palworld continues to churn out updates for both PC and Xbox. Currently, these are mostly fixing bugs and combating cheats, but they've released a roadmap a few weeks ago, and we can expect some really awesome new content, which is already in the works. The game is still considered to be in early access, so I look forward to seeing what comes next.
Stardew Valley 1.6 update hype. This update is set to launch in just under 2 weeks on the 19th of March for PC and will include over 100 new lines of dialogue, seasonal outfits for the NPCs, extended game content, 8-player co-op, previously only 4, and much more that has remained unannounced. I love that this is launching around Easter. Now I can go on 2 hunts, one for Easter eggs and one for game updates.
A Fortnite data miner claims that Avatar, the Last Airbender crossover event, will come to the game at some point during Chapter 5 Season 2. According to the data miner, players will be able to unlock the AANG Fortnite style and Apple glider. AANG. It's the same thing. Ang. That's just, no. I'm going to leave it at that. At AANG.
Name.
Right? AANG. We'll leave it at that. And a premium track will provide additional rewards. It's not known when the event will start, but the leak says it will end on May 3rd.
Helldivers 2 players are debating meta builds and loadouts, with some advocating for kicking those who don't follow the correct setup. Vive la democracy, am I right? The community response seems to reject exclusion based on meta builds, thankfully. Focusing instead on enjoying gameplay with friends and personal preferences. Almost like it's a video game. Despite some players using meta arguments to exclude others, Helldivers 2 is gaining popularity and fostering a passionate, strategic community.
So many people like the game, and it's really big. It really is.
Yeah.
Balatro is a highly rated roguelike deck building game available on PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. The game has received overwhelming praise for its addictive gameplay and clever mechanics. Balatro has earned a 92 overall rating and is one of the top rated new game releases of 2024 for a card game.
And before now, you probably hadn't even heard of it. Not just you, but like listeners as well. So
yeah,
go check it out. Sony's new patent suggests AI companions may mimic player behaviors for more immersive gameplay experiences. Improved non-player characters' behaviors could lead to more authentic interactions in games. Sony is exploring ways to enhance gaming experiences through AI, potentially revolutionizing squad-based titles with realistic companions. I just love the idea of, like, if you're going to act like a insert expletive here in the game, and now all of the AI are going to treat you the exact same way. I love that. In my mind, that's perfect.
Good on you, and good job using AI for what we really wanted to do, right? Santa Monica Studios' recent job ad suggests the company is working on another action RPG. The listing pertains to new unannounced title, a wording that matches multiple other job ads for the company dating back as far as early as 2022. Santa Monica Studios' development efforts have been exclusively focused on the God of War series since the early 2000s. While many are hoping it's a new addition to the other franchise, Santa Monica Studios have yet to officially announce anything.
Rise of the Ronin, a game that we spoke about some time ago, actually, developed by Team Ninja, revealed a character creator, a four-player online co-op mode for a unique gameplay experience, the game immerses players in the Boshin War era with a focus on alliances, combat, and historical environments like Kyoto and Yokohama. Rise of the Ronin features a seamless blend of ranged and close combat, switchable characters with unique abilities, and AI companions for tactical gameplay.
Twitch has been fined over $300,000 by South Korea for violating telecom laws, leading to termination of services in the country. The Korean Telecommunication Commission ruled Twitch's stream quality reduction and VOD termination violated laws, resulting in a hefty fine. Twitch's financial struggles continue as fines and refunds begin to impact its bottom line, potentially requiring a major adjustment in its business model.
Twitch is in trouble, yo!
Mm-hmm.
Age of Mythology Retold has been confirmed for a day one release on Xbox consoles. Its late 2022 announcement only mentioned the remaster launching day one on PC. While it's still waiting for a release date, Age of Mythology Retold will be a day one Xbox Game Pass title. Its developer's track record points to a Q4 2024 launch.
From Software president Hidetaka Miyazaki wants to continue making Armored Core games. Miyazaki labeled Armored Core 6 as a success, but noted that he's eager to tackle another entry in the franchise because Fire of Rubicon still wasn't perfect. Despite the ambition, From Software has yet to greenlight a new Armored Core project, but hey, keep the faith, gamers.
Paragon the Overprime will shut down on April 22nd, despite a dedicated community and varied content and characters. Developer Netmarble confirmed it is unable to complete game development and will assist players in transitioning towards the game's end. The shutdown follows an unfortunate industry trend, with several online multiplayer games facing closure in recent times.
New Kingmakers game offers a unique RTS action experience with time-traveling humans facing medieval armies in epic battles. Players can use modern weaponry like the Apache attack helicopter and automatic grenade launchers in a medieval setting. Developed by Redemption Road Games, Kingmaker aims to be the standout medieval combat game with strategic gameplay. It looks so cool.
Castles don't stand a chance, let's be real.
They don't.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the game, is also something that we touched on a little while ago. It's releasing on June 4th, offering a 3v7 game format for an exciting asymmetrical horror experience. Inspired by the cult classic movie, the game features unique clown classes and citizens fighting back in Crescent Cove. Highly stylized visuals and 80s nostalgia should help set Killer Clowns apart from other asymmetrical multiplayer horror games.
Shin Megami Tensei 5 Vengeance will be released on June 21st, 2024, with new content available on various platforms. The game will feature two storyline options, Canons of Creation and Canons of Vengeance, with significant changes and new demons. Atlus has potentially exciting plans for 2024, including rumored Persona remakes and a new SMT title.
And this week in the news nobody cares about, anyone who has ever wondered whether a lawnmower can run Doom, as you do, can finally rest assured that the answer to that question is a resounding yes. Unexpected plot twist. Doom is getting ported to a lawnmower. Select robotic lawnmowers from Husqvarna are getting a Doom port. The game will be available for free as part of its limited time crossover event running from April 9th to September 9th. Signups are now open from now until the 26th of August. Unfortunately, it's not available in the US. It sucks to be you guys. It is available in 37 countries. I have not checked if it's available in South Africa, but I do know that Husqvarna does obviously operate in South Africa. So there you go. If you want a lawnmower that you can play Doom on, now you can.
If there was ever a chance to make your chores, if you're younger, or when you're older, your chores, right? Either way, is that called housework or something? It's something me and my wife always have a little argument about. She's like, it's housework. I'm like, it's chores. It doesn't matter. No matter with age, any sort of things like that, it's chores. At least now, it is more fun by playing Doom.
The promo is available in South Africa. We can get this. We can get a lawnmower that we can play Doom on. I should not have told you this.
I'm actually going to look forward to mowing the lawn because I can play Doom at the same time. So, I mean, if you ever wanted to make me more motivated to do chores, right? Put a game or something in the
chair. Oh, the missus is going to kill me for this.
The only thing is I'm going to actually have to go and purchase the lawnmower that I will actually be able to play the Doom port, but that's crazy. Like, out of all the things that has happened in this year, like, whether in gaming or not, a lawnmower being able to play Doom was definitely not on my bingo card, right?
Certainly not.
It definitely wasn't there, but really cool that now we know that lawnmowers can play Doom. We know that toasters can play League of Legends. Like, the world is a weird and wonderful place, am I right?
Ain't that the truth? What a time to be a gamer.
Yeah, really and truly, if there ever was a time to be a gamer, it is now in 2024. Well, that about rounds up our news and gaming this week. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 34 of Your Week in Gaming. You can find us on socials at YWIG Podcast and by email to weekingamingpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Andrew. You can find me at My Name is Pengu.
I'm Sam. You can find me at Nari Mizuki.
Our next episode will be out on Friday, the 15th of March, 2024 at 7 a.m. GMT plus 2 and across all major podcast platforms. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye.